Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, you guys might remember this, but last year I did, I think, over 100 events all across Montana. We did these events all across Montana with our friends from Americans for Prosperity Montana. And so I got to meet so many great people all across the state, including some of the great Turning Point USA chapter members and chapter leaders all across the state. And then several years ago, Charlie Kirk himself was on the Montana State University campus for one of their Campus Clash events, and we took you there. We had some audio highlights from that event. I think I got to interview Charlie Kirk at the time as well. And then what was it, 1 year ago, Charlie Kirk was at the University of Montana campus. He did an event there where he opened up the microphone, especially for the people that disagreed with him. They got to speak first, and then he did an event alongside now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. Well, Saturday, of course, I was at the University of Montana for game day. I was there for part of the military alumni reunion. And big thanks to Sam Redfern with the Montana Veterans Association. I ran into him on the Oval, and he said, hey, you got to meet the new president of the Turning Point USA chapter at the University of Montana. And I said, heck yeah, we got to do it. We got to get him on the show. He is now with us. We've now got the president, Turning Point USA, on the University of Montana campus. Trey Kinnaman now with us here, Conrad, Montana. Trey, thanks for being with us on the show here this morning.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, Aaron.
Yeah, so, well, first off, we'll talk more after the break, but tell us, you grew up in Conrad, Montana. You're now, what, a sophomore at UM?
Yep, I was born here in Missoula. I moved to Conrad when I was a kid, spent most of my life there, and then came back to Missoula to start my college career, and I'm a sophomore now.
What made you want to become a part of Turning Point USA?
Well, you know, I'm sure people are aware University of Montana, especially Missoula, is notorious for, radicalism and far-left policies. And, you know, I came here with the hopes of making a change here in this place. I love Missoula. I love University of Montana. I'm hoping I can bring back the Republican majority here in this lovely city.
Yeah, I know Friday night sounds like it was an incredible vigil and celebration of life for Charlie Kirk, the founder and leader of Turning Point USA. How was that? 30 seconds, and then we'll talk more after the break. But quickly, how did that vigil go on Friday night?
It was an incredible turnout. A lot of it was definitely last minute. It was put on. I started planning it the night before. We had about 500 people in attendance for being last minute, just a word of mouth thing. So it went incredibly well. Republicans showed up from all over Missoula County, all over nearby counties, and they definitely showed their love and support.
Yeah, and you even had student athletes there, a lot of the football players the night before their game getting out there and showing their solidarity, especially their love for the country and the love for Charlie Kirk. All right, hold that thought. More to follow with Trey right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, back to it here with Conrad, Montana native Trey Kinnaman, who is now the University of Montana chapter president for Turning Point USA. Trey, yeah, I got to meet Lily and some of your fellow Turning Point members last year while doing events in Missoula. It sounds like you've just had incredible growth of your Turning Point USA chapter, even before the sad and tragic events of last week. Talk about the rise in enthusiasm and kind of this rightward push amongst young people towards more American foundational principles and values.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think people my age, I think we're over it. We're over, you know, just this collective group of people, especially in Congress, that continuously put us last. And, you know, young people are done, especially after this last week. Young people are done supporting far-left policies and far-left ideologies. They're ready to get back to the basics and back to common sense. And that's something I've seen, I mean, this whole week since last Wednesday, since Charlie's tragic passing, was people want to be involved and people want their foot in the door. I've had at least 30-plus DMs almost every day about people asking, how can I help? What can I do? When's your next meeting? I've never seen as much growth and as much momentum as young conservatives have as I do right now. I mean, people are coming up to me on my classes, on campus, and they're just trying to ask me, what can I do? So although what was tragic on Wednesday, you know, definitely a heartbreaking event, it has definitely woken the eyes of a lot of people my age that they want to get involved and they want to make a difference. And so it's definitely been empowering to see, and I hope to see more of it in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we know that Turning Point USA nationally is just getting tens of thousands, I think, what did I hear, 30-plus thousand requests for new chapters, high schools, colleges all across America right now. You were seeing the growth before the tragic events of last week. I spoke at a Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner back in February, and I was quoting Charlie Kirk and talking about the rise in the movement that he has driven, right? But then I got an incredible email from Pat in Big Timber last night where he talked about, you know, one of the things Erica Kirk, his wife, talked about on Friday night, and that I think a lot of people are seeing here is that, you know, that sometimes in death you can be more powerful than you were even in life. And as powerful as Charlie Kirk was in life, I think this could be even more powerful. I mean, you're probably seeing it with young people there because of the fact that, like, a lot of you, you know, were fans of Charlie Kirk and you were going to his events, and other kids would hear about it and they would know of Charlie Kirk. But now those kids who were just kind of watching from afar, it sounds like they're wanting to get directly engaged now.
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, especially before Charlie's passing, we were seeing a lot of momentum, especially here in Missoula. I think it's just the collective thought that people are tired of it. It's too expensive to live. It's too expensive to own a house, too expensive to pay for groceries. You know, taxes are too high. They're getting ripped off in every which way. And I think people my age, they're tired of it. They want to be able to have a family. They want to be able to raise that family in a comfortable home. They want to be able to be financially stable. And I think we're over it and we're ready to flip the page and, you know, start a new generation of conservative politics. And that's something that I have been pushing for. I mean, for a long time, I've been pretty involved in politics for a few years now. And whenever I get the opportunity to talk to a group of young people, I ask them, do you want to be able to be financially sound within the coming years? Do you want common sense to come back to politics? And, you know, they always agree with me. They find, yes, we want common sense back in our law. We want common sense back in government. And so it's definitely been great to see this momentum shifting, especially away from the Democrat Party, which is such a mess right now with their support of far left socialism. And so, I mean, we've made great traction here in Missoula, great strides, and I've got a feeling that there's a movement starting right here in Missoula County.
What kind of help do you need? What can people do? I know we've got listeners all across the state that are just so excited to hear, and they're optimistic about the future of this country. They want to help out. What can they do specifically to help out your chapter or other Turning Point chapters across Montana?
You know, that's a great question, Aaron. I think if they really want to be helped, a lot of it is spreading the word and getting the involvement out there. You know, telling people, when is your next meeting? When can I be there? How can I help? You know, making sure you're spreading the word to your community members, to your friends, to your family. And, you know, I hate to say it, but especially in a lot of Turning Point chapters, the issue is money. You know, they don't really have the money to start up the club. They don't really have the money to go to all these different events. And so a lot of the time, they can't really get up and going. So a lot of it is, you know, make a donation to your Turning Point chapter. See how you can help them financially. See if you can help contribute so that way they can go to these events. Because I know that's a big issue, especially here in Missoula. You know, the University of Montana, they're not going to really write you a check to go to these Turning Point events. A lot of it comes from the community members and conservatives around the county. So I just say, you know, spread the word when meetings are and how people can get involved, as well as just make a donation, $1, $5, whatever it may be.
Yeah, maybe it's just to buy some pizzas for the next meeting. Maybe it's some gas money so they can get it spread out into the Bitterroot Valley and engage young people down there as well, or up north in the Flathead Valley. Trey Kinnaman, hold that thought if you can. Turning Point USA chapter president, the University of Montana. I want to get your reaction to these hateful left-wing protests that took place at UM on Sunday. If you can, stick with us. We'll come back to you right after this.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, yeah, we've had a busy week on this show here. I definitely, that's why I wanted on Monday and Tuesday's show to free up some phone lines, some open phones time for you, because people wanted to sound off. People needed to sound off. People needed to be heard. People wanted to be heard. And so that's why we definitely wanted to sneak in your phone calls. But glad today to be joined by Trey Kinnaman, the Turning Point USA chapter president at UM. The other thing that I'm going to get to here in just a few minutes is on Saturday, right after I ran into Sam Redfern on the Oval where the Blackhawk helicopter had landed, I then tried to hurry across campus over to the Adams Center, and that's where I caught up with the commander and the crew of the USS Montana, the official U.S. Navy submarine named after our great state. So caught up with the commander and some of the junior sailors, the chief of the boat, and more. So I'll get to those interviews here in just a second. First, though, Trey, I got to get your reaction. I think you saw some of the news coverage. You guys held a peaceful, basically prayer vigil for a celebration of life for Charlie Kirk Friday night at the University of Montana. Over 500 people showed up. I saw some of the Bibles and the American flags still sitting there in memoriam the morning after. And yet, here we go again. The far left, hateful activists in Missoula, they just can't help themselves. They were on the march Sunday, a much smaller group than the group that came out peacefully Friday night. And they had some of the most hateful signs you could imagine, including hateful signs about America's friend Charlie Kirk. What was your reaction, and how does your chapter respond to such hate?
Yeah, you know, Aaron, I think if there's anything I learned from my childhood, it's you know how to spot a sore loser. And that's what I see when I see these Democrat rallies going on, is rather than, you know, collecting themselves, figuring out how can we better our party, they instead shift to their political violent rhetoric of calling conservative politicians fascists and comparing them to, you know, notoriously awful people. And, you know, I think a lot of it comes from their bitterness of the fact that they can't get it together themselves. And that's what we're seeing with the Democrat Party, is they can't decide on a leader. And when they do, it's a far left crazy socialist like Zohran Mamdani out of New York City. So, I mean, it clearly shows where they're at as a party, especially seeing their new elected leader, Shannon O'Brien. You know, they just can't get it together, especially here in Missoula. And, you know, you see stuff like that. You see them shift towards more violence and more hate. And you start to realize, well, here's a party that says they're for love and peace, yet they cheer for the assassination of conservative politicians. They cheer for hate on campus. And that's the disgusting part. And that's why we're seeing so many people my age start to go, I don't want to be a part of this hateful, disgustingly vile rhetoric. I want to be a part of something meaningful. And so we're starting to see a movement here in the United States where young people are tired of voting for Democrats, and they're starting to vote Republican up and down the ticket. And after seeing that event on Sunday and seeing some of those signs, I realized that some of these people, they're a lost cause. You know, Charlie was all about having a conversation, opening up the dialogue, and having political discourse. You know, and conservatives, we're still at the table. We're still having that conversation. But Democrats have flipped the table, and they've walked away. They refuse to talk, and they refuse to try to find common ground. And so that shows that Republicans and conservatism is fighting for the American people. We're fighting for Montanans. We're fighting for the people here in our county. and Democrats have turned their backs on their voters continuously. So after Sunday, I am a firm believer that they're just putting their final nails in their coffin.
Well, and yeah, I just imagine, especially with these next generations, and it's people like you and your chapter members, why I'm so optimistic about the future of America, especially with our 250th birthday next year. And are we going to be a free republic for another 250 years? And the young generations, we're moving in the wrong direction, and we're going to take this country down the wrong path. And now these young people, thanks to Charlie Kirk and his chapters all across the country, they've got two paths now, and these other students see it. They see a path of hate and anti-American rhetoric, like the signage they saw on Sunday from these leftists. And then they see, you know, the optimism that they saw Friday night from you and especially the student athletes and others who showed up at this vigil for Charlie Kirk on a Friday night, just like they saw a clear difference between lockdowns and mandates versus football games and freedom during COVID-19. Trey Kinnaman, great to have you on the show. Appreciate your time. Let us know if you ever want to get the word out on anything down the road, especially if you got some events coming up. All right, well, let's switch tracks now. I've been meaning to get to this all week here. Right after running into some folks at the military alumni reunion, thanks to our friend Bill Witsit, who is the chairman of the USS Montana Committee, I was able to do an interview and link up with the great sailors from the USS Montana. They were there for game day on Saturday. Let me cue up the first one for you here.
We are at the Adams Center ahead of the Montana Grizzly football game today. What an honor it is to have the official crew of the USS Montana, the U.S. Navy submarine crew, back here in Montana. They've been making the rounds across the state. Now here we are, game day. We've got the commander of the ship, the captain of the USS Montana, Commander John Gilligan, with us right now. Commander, great to see you.
Hey, thanks. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. We're just so glad to be in Montana and meeting all the great people that we get to represent out in the Pacific.
I don't know how you guys do it on a submarine, being in that tiny space for that long of an amount of time and then doing all the incredible things you guys do.
Well, so it really is not as small as you might think. So if you've ever seen an old World War II movie, the boats are way bigger than they used to be. And really the way that we do it is that we do it together. I have a crew of 150 sailors, and they're the finest Americans on the planet. We go out together and do the job as a team.
Have you been to Montana before? And tell us about your trip so far, and especially being here on a, I guess I'd have to ask you after game day when you get to see the huge crowd and the excitement here after the game, but just what's your trip been like so far?
Well, this is my first opportunity to get to Montana, and I've been wanting to come here for a very long time, so very glad to get here. We've been all over the state now, meeting just fantastic people, and the welcome everywhere we've gone has been just truly amazing. Really looking forward to the game. Go Grizz.
How would you describe the USS Montana's mission? Obviously from an unclassified standpoint, but how would you describe what you do and the significance of what you and your crew does?
So USS Montana is a Virginia-class, nuclear-powered, conventionally armed, fast-attack submarine. We do really anything that the nation needs done in the undersea domain. So anti-submarine warfare, anti-surface warfare, support to Special Operations Force, strike. Anything that the Navy needs done underwater, we can go do it.
I understand you got to go to Malmstrom Air Force Base, and they're in the middle of this massive Sentinel missile system upgrade, and so pretty interesting having a couple of legs of the triad right there in one room.
Yeah, it is. It was very interesting to get to see what our brothers in the Air Force do, and the triad really does work best as a triad. One of the most important parts of national defense is that nuclear triad. As a fast attack submarine, we're not a ballistic missile submarine, so we're not directly in that job. We're out on the pointy end. Doing the rest of the work that those guys let us go do.
More of the secret squirrel portion, shall we say, of the submarine environment. Is that a good way to call it?
Well, we are the silent service. I'm not going to talk about everything that we do out there. The Navy flies, sails, and operates everywhere the law allows, and we continue to maintain a presence around the globe to support the national security interests and prosperity of the United States.
How has just the global threat environment changed? I mean, it's just been some crazy times, so with all the news from Iran to China and everywhere else.
I can't really speak to current operations, but the Navy has always been America's away team, and we are out there maintaining that presence, keeping the sea lanes open for travel, maintaining the ocean safe for democracy.
Well, Commander, I know so many folks here at the game are excited to get a chance to see you, especially fellow veterans who are just so proud and impressed with the active duty service force that's out there right now. It just gives us so much hope in the future of America.
We love being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. We also got the chance to catch up with the chief of the boat, the command master chief of the boat as well. But first, along with several of their junior sailors as well. But first, let's take you to our next conversation here.
How great now to talk with Chief Select John Mossy. Grew up in Florida. He's on the USS Montana. Chief Select, that's a pretty big deal.
Yes, sir. It's very rewarding, very trying. 12 years of service, I finally made it, and it's an honor. You know, I get to join a great mess, a great fellowship, and you know, I'm proud to be where I'm at.
When I was overseas, one deployment, I got to see one of these promotion ceremonies where they rang the bells and all the new chiefs got introduced. Pretty powerful ceremony, pretty incredible. What does it mean to become a Navy chief?
So to me, what it means to become a Navy chief, it's a lot of, lots of hard work on my part, but it really just shows and, like, really my people, the people that have worked for me and have trusted me over the years, they really, you know, they helped me out. You know, I couldn't be here without them. I couldn't be here without my wife and kids. I did lots of hard work, but, you know, lots of people did lots of hard work. And, you know, this is really just a testament to their hard work as well as my hard work.
What's it like being on the USS Montana? What's day-to-day life like? And what's your job?
So I am a nuclear machinist mate. So really what I do is I maintain and operate the propulsion turbines and, the turbines that make electricity. Additionally, you know, I'm one of the guys that makes the water back in the aft end of the boat. Day-to-day, you know, we have 3 8-hour watches, three-section 8-hour watches. So typically we'll stand 8 hours a watch, go eat a meal real quick, kind of do some on-the-spot training, and then shortly after that, depending on what the day looks like, we go back, do some more maintenance, or, you know, if we're lucky, we get to enjoy, you know, the occasional video game or cribbage game and really just get to hang out on the cruise mess, which is where we eat, you know, and just kind of spend time together.
All right, that was Chief Select Mossy. Great to catch up with him. We caught up with a couple junior sailors. We'll get to that here right after the break, including a conversation with the chief of the boat, the command master chief, talking about all the Montana-specific stuff that you would see if you got to go on the USS Montana.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The summer cattle video sale season is pretty much wrapped up across Montana and the nation. And I want to share more of the results from this week's Northern Livestock Video Fall Premiere Sale that was held in Billings, because I wanted to highlight just how much calf prices surged in September 2025 compared to September 2024. Steer calves yesterday averaged $163 a hundredweight higher than a year ago. That's a 57% drop. That added more than $1,050 per head for steer calves. The biggest movers were 7 to 750-pound steers, climbing over $1,320 a head in value, with an average price of $3,128. Heifers weren't far behind. On average, those heifer calves sold $152 a hundredweight higher, a 58% increase, which boosted values by nearly $950 per head. 6 to 650-pound heifers led the way, with prices soaring over $1,076 per head higher than September 2024, with a value of $2,631 a head. Tight supplies and strong demand continuing to fuel the sharp year-over-year gains, giving ranchers a welcome boost this fall. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
Hey, very cool. Now we've got the chief of the boat, the master chief, Ernie Scott of the USS Montana, here with us at the University of Montana just before the game gets underway, before the tailgate parties get underway. Although, master chief, I don't know, there must be a few Navy people out there, because I think the party's already getting started here at 9-something in the morning.
I think it is. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good to see you. How's your trip going in Montana so far? Have you been to Montana before, or do you know anybody from Montana? What's it like?
I know one crew member that his family's from Montana, and then still his extended family still lives in Montana. Other than that, this is my second time. I came through here as a young child when I was about 14 in 92, stayed in Missoula over for a couple of days. This trip has been very exciting, though, meeting the great people, seeing Helena, Great Falls, the Little Shell Tribe, and now in Missoula. Across the board, great people, great visit. Everybody's been so friendly, taking very good care of us. And it's great to make the connection between Montana the ship and Montana the state, and to meet the people that we're representing with our namesake.
I don't know if you know the service member that's from Montana, or if you can share their name, but you know, folks across Montana always love hearing about the Montana kids out there. But talk about some of the Montana imagery on the USS Montana as well, or just some of the scenes of Montana that you're now seeing here on the ground.
Of course, we haven't got to go to Glacier National Park, but throughout the cruise mess, we have the Glacier National Park wrap on the inside of the cruise mess, which is named the Big Sky Saloon appropriately. Inside the submarine, all the berthings are named after various towns, Great Falls, Havre, and so on, as well as the passageways are all named after various rivers. And my favorite is the machinery room, which is nicknamed the Big Hole, which has, you know, appropriate signage everywhere, as well as Blackfeet Indian artifacts that were presented during the commissioning. Those are displayed as well, and various art from C.M. Russell, which we got to visit the C.M. Russell Museum and see the pieces in real life, which was an extraordinary experience.
You know, it's pretty incredible today. Actually, we had a friend of mine. I met him on a military assignment. He's a Green Beret. He's now retired. He came all the way out here to Montana to recognize one of our fallen brothers who gave his life 20 years ago in Afghanistan for our country. It's so cool that he came all the way out here. But he had a ticket for the game, but he's like, you know what? I got to go see Glacier National Park. And, you know, when I first got back from Iraq, that's where I went. And there's something about the power of Glacier National Park that just that really brings you home when you've been all over the world and with some incredible people that have done so much for this country. So I hope one day we can get you up to Glacier as well. But I'll tell you what, you know, being in a Montana game day is a great thing to be at too. The power of the people.
Yeah, this is a very exciting experience. You can feel the energy in the air prior to the game right now, and we're looking forward to watching the game. And for Glacier National Park, it was already on my bucket list of things to do eventually. But after coming to Montana and visiting, this will definitely be high on my list for a personal vacation in the near future when I bring my wife back for a visit to Montana.
What's it like for you, because you're a guy as the Master Chief who's risen all the way up the ranks, from the lowest ranks all the way up to the top, and now you're responsible for everybody. You've seen it all, you've kind of been through it all, but now you're kind of in charge of it all as the Chief of the Boat, especially for the enlisted side of the house. What's that like, being the Chief of the Boat? And then what's it like also getting to see the response from the people and the pride they see when they see your young men come here in uniform?
From the Chief of the Boat perspective, having the opportunity to lead, mentor, and develop all the sailors across the boat, both enlisted and officer, it's a profound and great experience. It's a real privilege. And then to see the pride that the sailors that I brought here with me, which these are my most outstanding and recognized sailors, although across the board, it's hard to recognize sailors of this caliber because they're all so close. They're very competitive, very professional, and there's very, very minute things that make them stand out as a junior sailor, a blue jack of the quarter or of the year, and a sailor of the year. So even their selection was tough for us to decide on who was going to be the top player. And I think it was appropriate, though, to bring those particular sailors to Montana to represent us as the winners of those prestigious awards. And the fact that just to see the people of Montana as they interact with them, the pride that it brings. And I know that it's bringing energy to my sailors, and I know that my sailors are going to take that back to the submarine to share it with the other sailors. All our experiences here will be stories that will be told for years to come on the boat, and I guarantee that it's going to inspire other sailors to rise to this challenge to try to be at this level and then, you know, be on the next namesake visit whenever that happens.
From your perspective, representing the senior enlisted, talk about just the global threat environment and the importance of a capability like the USS Montana.
The USS Montana is at the forefront of deterrence from our adversaries, right? We work with our allies, and it's very important. It's one of my primary jobs as chief of the boat is to make sure that we are trained and ready to go in aspects of war fighting and damage control. And with the work we've done so far from coming from Newport News Shipyard to where we're at right now with our upcoming deployment cycle, we're full ready to go do what the nation needs to do.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. Thanks so much for freeing up some time for us and our listeners across the state. And have a great time at the game today. And thanks for all you do. Thanks for your years of service.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and by the way, actually, it was fun. So I was attending the game as part of the military alumni reunion. And so a lot of us who were there for the military reunion were all sitting in kind of that south end zone area right next to the band, which is a great place to be. The bands are always just incredible here for the Grizz and the Cats. And what a game it was, too, frankly, because UND, North Dakota, has got a really strong team that nearly knocked out Kansas State. And so the Grizz knew they had a tough game on their hands, and they were down for the whole first half and by a pretty good number. And then they clawed back for a victory in the final 2 minutes of the game. But it was fun as I was, you know, walking back up. Up the steps there, all of them were all lined up sitting there, and they had their Navy whites, I guess you would call it, their white uniforms on, and there was Bill Witsit sitting there with them as well, and you could just tell they were having a great time. All right, well, let's now get to the Junior Sailor of the Year, and then we've got another sailor who was meritoriously promoted ahead of time because of the incredible work that he is doing on the USS Montana. So a couple of the junior sailors, young men, who got to be in Montana last week. And by the way, they all really enjoyed their time in Fort Benton in particular as well.
Petty Officer Kelly Balfus, and it's great to be here.
And you tell us you are a sonar technician. What do you do? What's your job? And what's day-to-day life like?
Yeah, so I'm a sonar tech, which means I'm the eyes and the ears of the submarine. I'm hunting down other submarines, other surface ships, and tracking them. And we also get a lot of fish, and it's kind of cool to hear them. So day-to-day rotation for me looks like waking up, go tour, get a turnover from the guys who are on watch, and I go sit watch for 8 hours. And then the next 8 hours after that, we're doing maintenance, repairing the system, doing preventative maintenance, and hanging out with the other guys and playing some cribbage and some video games. And then after that, you get to hit the rack and get some sleep.
So is it like the movies where you're the guy with the headset on listening to the beeps and watching the radar spin around and spin around?
There are some aspects that are like that, but we're a little bit more technology advanced now. So I don't know. I can't get that word out.
Yeah. What did it take to become the Junior Sailor of the Year?
Yeah, so Junior Sailor of the Year, I took up a lot of collateral duties and put in some good work and was able to get Junior Sailor of the Year. So it was,
where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Prescott, Arizona.
Oh, yeah, sure. Beautiful country. Yeah, it's kind of like the Montana of the South down there.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, great to see you here. Anything that's standing out from your trip here in Montana?
Just how big the sky is. We say that in our boat all the time over the announcing circuit, big sky. So it's great to be here in Go Grizz.
Yeah, all right. Great to see you. And then, sir, tell us your name. And by the way, congrats on your promotion for your meritorious achievement.
All right. Yeah, I'm Petty Officer Joni Chokwa Urbano. It's a mouthful. So on the boat, I just go by Chokwa. And then to the new guys, I just go by X.
That's great. Where'd you grow up, and how long have you been in the Navy now?
I grew up from Montgomery, Alabama, and I've been in for just a little bit over 3 years. I've been on the boat for 2.
Yeah. And what do you do on the boat? What's your job? What's day-to-day life like?
So on the boat, I am a machinist, mate auxiliaryman. As the other guy that's with us is Chief Lake Jonathan Massey. He's a nuclear machinist, mate, so he's a mechanic on the nuclear side, I'm a mechanic on the auxiliary side. So pretty much day-to-day for me is waking up, go tour my space. So I'm in charge of making oxygen on the boat, getting rid of all the carbon dioxide, hydrocarbons, and then also maintaining our emergency diesel generator, and then alongside with a few other small stuff like plumbing, hydraulics, air. So I'm really hands-on with all my stuff, and I really do enjoy it. Now, for a lot of car guys are interested in, you know, joining, I personally love the engine. It's the, you know, pretty great. I like it.
That's a, you talk about what a massive responsibility is, that is. 21 years old, he joined at 18, and what's his job? Oxygen on the boat. A pretty big deal when you're on a submarine. Anyway, so great to catch up with all those USS Montana sailors. Big thanks to Bill Whitson.
Did you?
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a quick few minutes left here as we round out the show here. If you got something you want to talk about, or if you want to jump in on something we talked about already, give us a call right now. We should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time. 406-294-0970, or you can send us a quick message on the Montana Talks app as well. So yeah, let's see. Oh, speaking of that, I see we got a few messages in there, so I need to go check some of those messages. A couple of other big stories to get on your radar here. Oh yeah, Tim and Savage just messaged us. A boat commander named Gilligan. I had the dad jokes ready to go, Tim. I didn't use one dad joke on Commander Gilligan. when I talked with Commander Gilligan from the USS Montana. I'm sure he gets that all the time, though. So, Tim and Savage, thanks for that message. Also got a note here from Lee Ettinger, loving the conversation here about the USS Montana. Of course, Lee is our great Marine Corps veteran listener in Big Fork. The founder of Power Plus Pain Aid. All right, looks like a couple other stories I'll get on your radar real quick, and then I'll go to John and Kalispell on the phone lines. One, you know, we were talking about Charlie Kirk and how the far left activists, so many of them are celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Well, big news on our Montana Talks website: a Billings public school teacher is now under investigation for allegedly celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. You can check out that story at montanatalks.com. And then another story that I've been commenting on X earlier this morning. So the Montana Democrats elected their new leadership over the weekend. Their chair is a Democrat state senator out of Missoula, who lost the race for superintendent of public instruction last year by 20 points. But their vice chair, this guy sounds crazy. He's some woke white liberal from Livingston. And Kyle Schmock shared this on X yesterday. He has now been exposed for sharing comments where he talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene and basically encouraged somebody to, quote, push this dumb B word down several flights of stairs. Could you imagine if a Republican had said that about a Democrat? All right, back into the phone lines we go. Caden, send us John in Kalispell. We'll sneak John on here, and then hopefully we can get to the next caller right after that. John, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for calling in.
You bet. Well, I just wanted to let the individual voters know in the Bozeman area, they have been struggling with affordable housing from the mid-90s, and they continually elect Democrats to the city council on a regular basis. And what has it given you? Absolutely nothing. And the fact of the matter is the city of Bozeman city council cannot solve by government regulation, nor any city, affordable housing or anything of that nature, unless they start reducing regulations. And the more regulations they continually put on are going to do nothing but jack up the prices, property taxes, more burden on the citizens and individuals, and people that want to buy lower affordable housing will be, they're already priced out of the market, and they'll never get back to that ability to afford, period.
Yeah, that's right. Well said. And, yeah, for those of you who haven't heard about this yet, there's a website. Check it out, affordablebozeman.com. But on the ballot this November is going to be a crazy water initiative that they're saying is going to drive up housing costs even further, impose price controls. It could hike up your property taxes and more. So a dangerous new water initiative on the ballot in Bozeman this November. Check out affordablebozeman.com for more details. Let's see. John, thanks so much for the call. Let's try to sneak on Marilyn and Lolo next. Kate, go ahead and patch her through here. I know we've only got about a minute or so to go. Yeah, here we go. About a minute or so to go. Marilyn and Lolo, thanks for calling. What did you want to share?
Okay, so real quick, last December I got to go to Charlie Kirk's AmeriFest down in Phoenix, and it was fabulous. Such a classy event. It was, 20,000, mostly kids. I'm a boomer, and I have been active and involved and trying to get as informed as I possibly can since the 80s, and I'm so happy to see this. I mean, the day Charlie that I heard he was murdered, I was hysterical. But what's happening now with the youth is something some of us boomers that have been active and involved have been praying for and believing for and fighting for many, many, many years. So, and I'm headed now to Arizona to be able to attend the Legacy event. And this trip was planned 2 months ago. So the timing is
incredible.
And I'm really looking forward to Sunday's event.
We'll have to get you to call in next week if we can after that to report back from that event. Yeah, Marilyn, you may have missed it last week, but I thought your phone call earlier in the week last week was so prescient with what happened later in the week and this assassination of Charlie Kirk, where you said, you know, what is going on in this country right now? It's not political. It is spiritual. This is a battle between good and evil that we are seeing in this country right now. And you were so spot on. All right. Sorry, we're out of time. Let's see. Big show coming up for you tomorrow. I know there's another Charlie Kirk event planned for Kalispell tomorrow afternoon. So I'll get the details for you by tomorrow's show. Stand by.